Halachos of Kiddush Levana. We start talking about who's chayiv, who's not chayiv. We spoke about a bar mitzvah boy, pre-bar mitzvah boy, and the mitzvah chinuch as it relates to Kiddush Levana, as that ties into the mitzvah kriyashma, namely machlokes between Rashi and Rabbi Natam, if there is an obligation for a father, in terms of the mitzvah chinuch, to educate his son to say kriyashma, or do we assume that that was an exception to the rule of most mitzvahs, because it happens to be that the mitzvah applies and is incumbent upon a person at hours that a father may very likely not be at home with his kid, or his kid might be sleeping already. That was the basis for the dispute that we saw yesterday. Now we're moving on to the obligation of women in Kiddush Levana. We generally don't see women saying Kiddush Levana. The question is why. Some suggest that it's a mitzvah Eishas Man Grama, right? There's only a certain window of time during a given month when a person can recite the bracha of Kiddush Levana. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But even if it's a mitzvah Eishas Man Grama, so we'd imagine that women have the option to volunteer to perform the mitzvah, which they do in the case of lulav or shofar, many other mitzvahs that they're also not obligated to do, but they do it anyway, so why should Kiddush Levana be any different? So some say, this is based on sources in Kabbalah, that the reason why they don't volunteer to participate in Kiddush Levana is because they somehow contributed to the cause of the moon's light being diminished in the first place, as we mentioned yesterday, briefly, that some of the Kabbalistic significance to the mitzvah stems from the fact that the current state of the moon cycle is related in some way to the chet of Adam HaRishon, and that it seeks tikkun in the future, because the Navi says in Yeshaya that the moon is going to return to its former state of being equal in size and light to the sun. And because of that connection to the chet of Adam HaRishon, which again was sourced, so to speak, in the actions of Chava, the Shla, which is the basis for this opinion, mentions that women do not volunteer to perform the mitzvah of Kiddush Levana. Ben Ish Chai notes that in a tshuva and Rav Palin that there's no opposition found in the writings of the Arizal, nonetheless, although we would have expected to see it there if it's based in Kabbalah, but the Shul brings this idea that women don't do the mitzvah for that reason. I'd add, just parenthetically, we find the discussion in the Poskim as to why the primary obligation of Halakas Neros on Shabbos devolves upon the woman of the house, even though strictly speaking, a man is also chayiv. Man is also chayiv in halakas neiros, and that's evidenced by the fact that if he's home alone, or if you have yeshiva bachram sharing an apartment or a dorm or something like that, so they're of course chayiv to light Shabbos candles as well. It's also not a standard case of where the woman is performing the mitzvah on behalf of the husband as his shaliach, because the poskim say that he has no right to take the mitzvah to light the candles away from her. It isn't a normal situation where we might say mitzvah bo yosem yivishlucho, it's better to do it on your own than having someone do it instead of you, but rather it seems like there is a particular institution for the woman to be the one to actually light the candle. So on a simple level, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Shabbos that the reason for this is because Halakas Neiros was really designed to focus on her, because the likelihood that she's at home, she's tending to other household preparations for Shabbos, she's cooking, she's cleaning, so the candles will also fit into that same set of responsibilities. However, the Torah quotes from a Medrash, and it's also Yerushalmi, that says that Chava was Kavsa Orishal Olam. She caused the light of the world to be extinguished to some degree by bringing about death to her husband and bringing about death into the world. So it's appropriate for her to perform a mitzvah that adds light to the world. And we would presume that this is somehow related to what we're saying before regarding her volunteer participation in Kiddush Levana. Okay, but others say, getting back to original question, why the women are not generally fulfilling the mitzvah of Kiddush Levana, because the mitzvah that's performed here, even though it's mitzvah Eishas Man Groma, and she can volunteer nonetheless to participate in the mitzvah, but it's a big deal. We go outside after shul is over, and many places they sing, they dance a little bit. So in the interest of tznius, it never was the optimal choice for women to choose to participate if they're not otherwise obligated. So the practice never developed for women to volunteer for the mitzvah. So it's not that there's a problem with her doing it as far as the mitzvah of Kiddush Levana per se is concerned, but there were reasons why this wasn't the mitzvah for her to volunteer to do in the interest of tznius. Others deny the fact that it's a mitzvah Eishas Man Groma altogether, and they say, no, maybe a woman really should be chayiv. It's not a patur mitzvah Eishas Man Groma like other mitzvahs. Why should we say that? So on the one hand, it's only performed at certain times of the month, but the Gemara does say that a person is supposed to make the bracha when they are roa halavana bechidusha, when they see the moon in its state of renewal. And that means to say that it comes to a point where it's no longer in its state of renewal and you can't say it anymore somewhere in the middle of the month. So it sounds like it's dependent on time, but you can also understand what the Gemara is saying is that it's not really a time-bound mitzvah. It's predicated upon a metzias. It's predicated on the reality of where in the lunar cycle the moon happens to be standing at that given moment during the month. So it's bound to the nature of the moon's appearance, not a date on the calendar, as is the case of other mitzvahs that are related to the calendar, such as matzah or shofar. Matzah they have a chiyuv to do anyway. Matzah, shofar, lulav, which are in fact based on the ways that Yom Tovim fall out and the way that they are part of the calendar during the Jewish year. So this is a discussion. Some, such as Moshe, Ramosha writes in Tshuva that we see from here that maybe can we say Shazman Groma, even when it's dependent on the Metzias, as long as Chazal assign a specific limited window when it can be performed. This is a background for our for the question. Either Mitzvah Shazman Groma, we need to explain why they were not involved, or it could be we can use the same svara. The interest of Tznius was a reason why, even if it's a Mitzvah Shalozman Groma. And a woman should have been chai, perhaps because of the interest of Tznius, so Chazal did not institute this particular mitzvah d'Rabbanan on women. Okay, finally, we mentioned yesterday that you make a bracha specifically at a time when one can benefit from the light, which is at night after Tzitzis Kochavim. Shulchan Aruch writes that even a blind person can make the bracha. The Gemara tells us regarding another similar bracha, the bracha of Yotzer Me'oros that we say before Kriya Shema, which is on the celestial bodies as well. A blind person can make that bracha, even though he's not directly benefiting from the sun, the moon, whatever it happens to be. And one reason for that is because other people who are not blind benefit from the lights of the sun and the moon and use that light to guide the blind person, even though he's not able to derive benefit directly from the sun and the moon. There's an additional svara for the blind person to make the bracha of Kiddush Levana, because the bracha may indeed be actually on the Minhago Shel Olam. Many of the brachas we say, to explain what that means, many of the brachas we say, even if they're designed to address specific events or chasadim of Hashem's wisdom and creation or wisdom in creation, they aren't necessarily limited or restricted to specific instances where we are directly encountering those elements. Rather, we make a bracha on the general existence, the fact that Hashem implanted that into the Bria. A prime example of this is the fact that we make the brachas HaShachar every single morning, Keseder, before davening. Even if, for example, there was no rooster that woke you up today, the notion of a nosin, the sech vibina, is an integral part of the world in the many ways that bracha manifests itself beyond roosters. But I don't actually have to have a rooster wake me up in the morning in order to make the bracha. It's al min hago shel olam. So likewise, when it comes to certain aspects of the bria, like this one, the chiddush of the levana that happens on a monthly basis, the very fact that it's occurring and it's part of creation warrants the recital of the bracha, whether a person benefits from it because they have sight, or they're blind and they can't actually see the moon. But in any case, everyone agrees that someone who wears glasses, even if they can't see the moon without the glasses, is going to make the bracha of Kiddush Levana. This is something we find throughout the poskim in many, many areas of halacha. The Gemara says, like we mentioned before, Haroa Levana b'chidusha, one who sees the moon in its renewal makes this bracha. So seeing the moon. So even if you reject the previous arguments that we stated, that a blind person, and you say the blind person does not make a bracha, despite the svaras that other people who guide the blind person benefit from it, or because it's al minhago shel olam. But rather, if we take that Gemara literally and we insist that the bracha can only be said when you see the moon, okay, but when a person wears glasses, that is in fact how they see. That's how they see anything in the world. That is their normal mode of vision. For example, Baal Koreh reads from the Torah. So Baal Koreh, you know, to have the Torah in front of you, have a Sefer Torah that's written properly, and to read from it, that's an absolute requirement to perform the mitzvah. If you don't have a Sefer Torah, if you just have a Chumash, or you close your eyes and you read the Parsha by heart, you're not go to the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah. You don't get the credit for listening to the Parsha. But even if that Baal Koreh has glasses, and he's reading the Sefer Torah with those glasses, through those glasses, that is how his sense of sight currently functions. It's very different than a person who's blind. If he needed to use a telescope to see the moon, so that would be a very different issue and highly questionable for him to say Kiddush Levana. But if he's wearing glasses, that we would say across the board is considered seeing it. For this person, that is their normal mode of vision. Okay, let's move on to some of the particulars of how the mitzvah is performed. Where is a person supposed to say the bracha? So we mentioned that it's supposed to be said dafka standing. We said this yesterday, because the mitzvah is an expression of Kabbalah's Pnei Shechina. Likewise, the poskim say that one should leave whatever structure he's in, whether it's his home, whether it's shul, to make the bracha outside whenever it's possible, because that's a proper way to greet the Shechina. If there was a dignitary, if the president's motorcade, you know, was riding in a parade down the street, So it would be much a much greater and much more appropriate display of honor if you came out to the curb, come out to the sidewalk and wave as the president drives by, rather than, you know, just looking out your window of your bedroom in your house. B'dievet, he's certainly yotze, even if he did the mitzvah of Kiddush Levana under a roof. But the best way to do it, proper way to do it, is by going outside to the street. If it's raining and you're still able to see the moon, but you're afraid you're not going to be able to have an opportunity to do it later in the month, and you need to go outside, so you are allowed to make the bracha under an umbrella. Mistama, if there was a parade and the president was driving by and it was raining outside, so people would be standing there like they do, you know, for a Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade under an umbrella as well. That's the way you'd greet the king if it was raining. Interestingly, the Magen Avraham writes that one should not do the mitzvah under any sort of roof at all, because he might find himself under the same roof as Tuma. Moshe comments that it's kind of surprising, because we don't generally find any limitation, any kapeda to avoid Tuma when you're performing another mitzvah in a building or in any other room, in a house. We try to avoid any roof whatsoever, including outside of Gluck. There's like an overhang. Outside of Zeisman at the moment, there's a lot of scaffolding. So you should step out of the scaffolding, outside of the overhang of the building, and recite the bracha at that time. Finally, if for whatever reason a person is not able to go outside, either because of weather conditions or illness or whatever it may be, he can make the bracha inside as well through the window. Ideally, if you can open the window so the light of the moon is not obscured, that would be the best thing. If that's not possible, the bracha can be made through the glass, provided that there can be a direct flow of light from the moon through that glass.